so good to be here in Bangor. You know, we get to see a little part of Bangor every week in our church, Calvary Baptist, just up the road here a ways. I pastored there for 15 years, and we retired and live in Union. And Linda and I go out to churches around, wherever we're invited mainly, and share with people our SIM ministry, which is Seniors in Ministry, which helps people to write their life stories and their salvation testimonies, which usually goes in with their life story. You know, when we sang that song, it's just the grace of God that we're doing that. It's the grace of God that we are in the ministry, have been now for around 40 years. But my life was a lot different for as a young man, and got really deep into things that truly weren't honoring to the Lord. And God brought me out of that, saved me, helped me to see that serving Him and living for Him was so much better than what I had been living. And there was no comparison to that. So we share our life stories and our testimonies with people and churches. Here a while back, I was invited down to Des Moines to a rescue group of people that were from the mission there in Des Moines and other places, and had the privilege of sharing my testimony with them. And just the grace of the Lord that we have what we have. Linda, my wife, will be 60 years this June the 11th. And that is a work of grace. Really is, that God has been graceful and merciful to us and kept us together through a lot. A few years back, we lost our daughter, died of brain tumor with four children. We've seen a lot of things in life that really the Lord has prevailed and got us through. And I tell you, it's a joy to be here in Bangor. It really is. The Liberty Friends Church, we drive by here a lot because I like this back road to Marshalltown. And we come by here quite a bit. And every time I do, I think of you all, I think of this church as a lighthouse here, shining forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so today we do count it a privilege and a blessing to be here. We do have three children. Joy, as I mentioned, was our youngest. She's in heaven now, enjoying the glory of heaven. And then our next son, Duke, is a pastor in Toledo, Ohio, at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Toledo. If you want to hear a good sermon sometime or a good quiet of service, he's live stream or on Facebook, and that you could find him. Pastor Duke is what he goes by, Pastor Duke. And then our oldest son, Mike, quite proud in a good way of Mike. He is the state chaplain here for the Army National Guard and also the Air Force National Guard in Iowa. And we really appreciate how God has been graceful to Mike, Carla, and their six children. Mike getting to the place where he's at in serving in our military. And he has a son, Edward, who is in Camp Bragg in North Carolina. He was just home and stayed with us a couple of days. And he is such a joy. He is a in the 82nd Airborne, jumps out of airplanes. I told him, Edward, what in the world? Why jump out of a good airplane? So anyway, he's quite the young man. And so today, we're just privileged to serve the Lord and have the family that we have, 13 grandchildren. And we've been enjoying for the last 20 years. It's just been 20 years that we've been here in this area in Union. And we decided to retire there. We didn't stay retired very long in the sense that we started this ministry, a SIM ministry. And so I want to thank Brother Bill and all of you folks for inviting us to come. I'm going to be using some scripture today out of Philippians. I think Philippians is one of my favorite books because it's easy to read and it's only four chapters. One time an evangelist challenged me to read Philippians every day for 30 days and see if there's any difference in my life. And I did that, and it did make a difference. And ever since then, I have really been privileged to preach out of Philippians. And so Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What really stands out to me in this passage, as I've looked at it many times, is the peace of God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. I mean, it goes beyond our human words. It goes beyond our own intellect or our understanding, our knowledge. Peace. Peace of God. And if there's ever a day we need that, you and I, dear one, is today. We need that peace of God. And that peace of God here is explained here in a church setting in Philippi. And it isn't really addressing those that don't know the Lord. Romans chapter 5 is more into that, where we are justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about salvation. Here, this is directed to a church, to Christians. So I'm going to direct that to you today as Christians. And if you're here today and you have any doubts about your salvation, you need to get that taken care of right away and join the family of God, those that know Him and are living for Him. What a privilege. There's nothing that really surpasses the Lord. I was so thankful for that testimony today and just sharing with the microphone there that we don't need to get caught up in all of this that's going on in our lives, although that's pretty hard not to do. We do have something greater than what's going on. We have a God that's greater than man. And man gets us in all kinds of messes, you know. But there's victory in Jesus Christ. But we get in a lot of trials and tribulations in life. But God is so much greater than that. You know, here we have man, but here we have God. And God is able to do above and beyond what you and I could ever think of or ever ask or expect. God is able to do that. We need peace of God. You know, I come up with a little recipe for that in this passage. I don't know about you, but I really like zucchinis. I was going to bring one today. We still have one in our back porch. I might win a prize for the largest zucchini ever grown, but I'm really good at growing zucchinis. It's about the only thing that really does bless me, you know, as a gardener. Zucchinis usually grow pretty good for us. And I'm glad because my favorite dish is Linda's zucchini casserole. She makes a casserole, and I asked her for the recipe, and I'm not going to share all of it with you, but that has a lot of ingredients in it. And it is so good. But you know, the peace of God that way, I see some ingredients here in the peace of God. And the first one is back up in verse 4. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. Mentioned twice. So rejoicing is an ingredient for peace of God. Rejoicing, not complaining, not going around, as someone said, looking at your shoelaces all the time, but being able to see the Lord, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. That means any situation in life, rejoice in the Lord. Now, we can't rejoice in the situation. Certainly couldn't rejoice when our daughter died. Certainly couldn't rejoice in the terrible disease and all the things that we have in this life. We can't rejoice in that. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. If we know the Lord, we can always rejoice in Him. Can always rejoice in His salvation, that He sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, to pay the price on Calvary's cross for our sin. He bled and died, but He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. Hallelujah! He's alive. We're alive in Him. And we find that wonderful, wonderful peace of God is so important in our lives. So rejoice. We need to rejoice always. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, well, some of the times that I just couldn't feel like I could rejoice. You know, I look back at when we were young, a long time ago, when we were young, we lived out in the country on an acreage when we were married and our kids were small. And we had a Nash Rambler. Does any of you have a Nash Rambler? I don't know when they quit making those things. But we had a Nash Rambler. You had one? Know about them? Yeah, that's good. I had a Fraser when Linda and me were married. So some of you, Kaiser Fraser, some of you probably remember them. But anyway, we were going to town to pick up a flat tire or a tire that had been repaired, that had been flat, in this Nash Rambler. Now, I'm telling you, we didn't have two nickels that you could rub together. You've heard that said. I mean, we were a young couple with little kids, poor as dirt. I mean, we were poor. We didn't have anything much. I had a job that was good. But we were going to town, and I remember, you know, well, we got to go get this flat. And we were just going along on that gravel road, and all of a sudden, we heard this noise. Psss. Psss. You know what that is? That was the air going out of one of our tires. Well, actually, I missed that, because before that, the car started jerking. Car started kind of lunging a little bit. We ran out of gas. And before we got stopped, we heard the psssing. So we were out of gas, no spare tire, out in the country, not even close to any farmhouses. And there we sat with our little kids. Well, what do you do? Well, I probably complained about that. But you know, I should have rejoiced in the Lord. Rejoice! I mean, you know, we've got a lot going here. And you know, it wasn't very long till a good neighbor came by and fixed, went and got our tire, and we got it on. We got back to normal living again. But rejoice in the Lord always, even in the hardest of times, still look to the Lord. Because if you don't, you're not going to find any peace in this world. And you certainly won't find any peace in your tribulation, in your problem. The only thing you'll find there is depression and just misery and hurt in your life. And we've all had that. And so we need to be pulled out of that and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm able to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for whatever. And especially that you love me. You love me. You care for me. You sent your son to die for me. You've risen for me. God, I have so much in you. Not necessarily in this world. This world's going to end. It's going to be over. We sang today that Jesus may come anytime. What are we going to leave behind? Well, a lot of precious things, but we can rejoice that we have a sure future in Him. We can rejoice in that. So the first ingredient in this casserole that I'm making, not the zucchini casserole, but the peace casserole, peace of God, and that is rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 4. And then in verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Here I've put down renewal. I noticed we sang about that today, about renewal. Renewal in Christ. Christ alone. That we are renewed, we're revived. We have revival. I put on Facebook here the other day that for 2021, I'm praying for a revival, a spiritual revival. Now that may mean that we really faced harder times than we have in the past. But revival doesn't necessarily mean it's easy living what we're in. In fact, the early church, the time it grew the most and the most blessed under the Lord, early century and after, were when under persecution. Persecution, that is when the church grew the most, when it was under persecution. Now, I don't want persecution. I don't want trouble. Stay away from my door. I mean, I don't want to have to go through that, what could happen. But, you know, if that's God's revival, there might be someone that might see, hey, that Crawford guy, he's got a little different attitude and a little different approach to this thing. And might make a difference. Might shine, I hope, my life shine to those that are going through it, struggling and part of it or whatever. But renewal, that's the second ingredients. Actually, this is the three R's of ingredients, rejoicing and renewing. You know, where does our help come from? Remember that psalm, one of my favorite psalms, is Psalm 121. And the psalmist says, whence cometh my help? Where does my help come from? Appreciate my wife, appreciate my family, appreciate my friends. But where does my real help come from? From the Lord, the psalmist said. My help comes from the Lord. Why? How powerful is He? Because He made the heaven and the earth. He made the heaven and the earth. You know, you go out and you look at those stars and look at this universe and all the things that are out there in creation. No man made that. No man put those stars in place. No man made that moon. No man made the sun. No man made the creation of God. God Almighty made it. He's the only one that could. Man couldn't do that. So the psalmist said, as I look up into the hills, that I look up into the hills, whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. Now, if He is powerful enough to make the heavens and the earth, don't you think He's powerful enough to help us? To help us face what we have to face and go through what we have to go through? He's all powerful. He's able. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, God is awesome. He's great. He's big. Bigger than anything that we could ever imagine or think of. He's a lot bigger than you and me. And so, trust Him. So the first ingredient for the peace of God is rejoicing. Rejoicing always. The second one, renewal. Renewal in the Lord. Renewal of His power and of His might. So we find today that that ingredient is so important for the peace of God. Renewal. That renewal that comes from God. The Lord is at hand, He tells us in that verse 5. That means that He's available. He wants to help you in your life. I'm sure that He is in all of our lives here today, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we even sin. Sometimes we get on a different road than what we should. But there's renewal in the Lord. And we have to experience that renewal to have that peace. We can't be going down the wrong road with the wrong God and whatever might be in our lives and have the peace of God. We need that ingredients, that casserole of peace, the peace of God, rejoicing, remembering. Number 3, rejoicing, renewal, and remembering. Remembering what? Verse 6, back in Philippians chapter 4. You probably already know what that is. Remembering what? The most basic thing we can do, the most important ministry we can do, prayer. Prayer. That is the most important thing that we need to be doing. Praying and witnessing and showing forth God in our lives, that He's real, He's alive, He's shining through in our lives. But remembering to pray. You know, I'm afraid sometimes we really neglect prayer. I know because I do that myself. I know it's a tendency to just neglect finding a time to just set aside and just give it to prayer. Fervent prayer. I'm glad that I do, but I could do it more. I could do it more. And it is so important. You know, if you're on Facebook, you know, I'm on there a little bit. And I read people's, you know, their families, you know, got someone that's passed away or someone with the COVID. Someone, you know, there's so many people asking for prayer on there. And I try to stop right then and pray for them that ask for it. But then I'll run on to all kinds of posts. They pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for all of those in authority over us. Pray. 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 Why? Prayer is an ingredient to the peace of God. If we're not praying, We don't have that peace of God. We're not experiencing that. So pray. I challenge you with that today. People need to pray. Well, that concludes our casserole. I tell you, I love the taste of Linda's zucchini's casserole. Zucchini puts other things in it, too. But it's a real reminder here in this passage to rejoice. Not easy. Times we're going through. To be renewed, renewal, even today. Isn't that what we want out of church as believers? To be renewed, not be the same, going out as we came in. Renewal. Renewal from the Spirit of God. Renewal from the service. Renewal from our friends. Renewal from the Lord. We need that so much in our lives to be renewed, to be regenerated in the sense of not salvation, but for zeal and for blessing. And then to pray. Pray and pray and pray some more. Prayer. So important. I'm going to pause right now and pray. I hope I don't just preach it, but I do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you today in prayer. You are so gracious and good and kind and loving, forgiving. Lord, you are God. Lord, this church, through its history, Lord, so many people here loved you and lived for you, died for you. So, Lord, we know that's true of our country. There's been so many before us that have known you and serve you, so many even now. So thankful for that today, Lord. Lord, help them to be strong in the power of your might. Wherever they're at, whether it's our military, whether it's our police, wherever it's found in first responders, all so many people are officials. So many people that need your wisdom and your strength, your power. So Lord, help us to have that in our lives and our prayers. Those around us, those that are over us, those that are serving, those that are protecting, those that are saving lives. Lord, there's so many people, so many Christian people all over this world, missionaries. So many of them need our prayers as they face the struggles in heathen land. So Lord, thank you again today that we can meet here, that we can be challenged by your word. God, I pray today you would help us each as individuals to experience that revival, that renewal, that blessing of going through even in these hard days, that, Lord, we might be that light shining on for your glory and your praise and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, dear folks. It's been a privilege to come and share the Word of God with you and challenge you. Keep on keeping on for the Lord, okay? Thank you.